Many of you, and some of you might not be, are familiar with the turn of phrase, your face is your personality. Now, for those of you who are not familiar, or for those of you who don't know the history, so to speak, this phrase emerged as a kind of clever retort to the many claims made by normies, typically, when it comes to looks, lookism, and the general lack of success many men have with respect to women, because, frankly speaking, they don't look good enough. Or there's some other flaw related to their physical appearance. Maybe they're not tall enough, or what have you. Because the retort coming from normies to people making the claim that, well, I'm just not good looking enough, or my appearance is a decisive factor in this, would always be, well, you need to work on your personality, bruh. The problem is your personality. You know, you look a bit slovenly there. Maybe if you weren't so socially incompetent, you'd have more luck. This sort of thing. So, in essence, it's a pretty clever counter that emerged, I believe, organically in inkwell circles, primarily, to normative claims about how your personality is the guiding factor in initial success when it comes to dating and the mating game. Because it basically shoots down the premise that many normies uphold that your personality is the decisive factor in the first couple of stages of mating and dating. And the funny thing, of course, is that the normies are wrong on this, not just because inkwells claim this, but also because the science supports the inkwells in this regard. Namely, that for the initial mating rituals, so to speak, your appearance is the decisive factor. And we've been over this before, obviously. There's a basic looks test. And your personality, although it can play some role, is pretty minimal compared to the role that your looks play in the mating and dating game in the initial phases. And let's be honest, this normative normie claim about personality being the biggest obstacle in your life when it comes to dating, it's bollocks, it's BS, it's both persistent and pernicious. And for that, we should be grateful that the phrase, your face is your personality, exists. However, and I'm not trying to dispute that here, personality, i.e. psychology, is a little bit more complex than just this. And there is a whole host of factors that go into your personality that have actually nothing to do with your appearance, or very little. I mean, it can have something to do with your appearance, but these factors don't necessarily have to do with your appearance. So, we all know instances, I think most of us do at least, of people who seemingly have it all, right? They're attractive, they're wealthy, they have good social relationships, and yet they're utterly miserable. Now, I'm not in any way referring to these types that get on podcasts like Chad Williamson and make ludicrous statements such as, well, after I had earned my first $20 million, I realized how hollow a pursuit it was to just pursue money. There's more to life than just money. Or 9 out of 10 women complaining about how horrible it is to be beautiful. Not this sort of thing. But individuals, and it is rare, but it happens, who are legitimately the best of everything we could imagine. They have everything we could imagine. Wealth, looks, the whole shebang. And yet, they're depressed. They're miserable. They're unhappy. And from an outside perspective, most people can't understand it because we typically equate external factors, input from the environment, positive things that are nonetheless related to your internal factors, which is to say your appearance. Well, he looks good, he has money, i.e. has to be content, and we're baffled by this. We don't understand when people who seemingly have it all, especially comparatively speaking, we compare ourselves all the time to other people, when these people don't seem to have it all psychologically, or in the worst case scenario, they're miserable, and then they decide, for example, to self-delete or something along those lines. We don't understand it. But here's the thing, and this goes back to my point about your personality being independent at the end of the day, to a very large extent, of your appearance. Your personality is not your face entirely, specifically in certain contexts. Well, yeah, you can be completely depressed, completely miserable, and still seemingly have it all. And you can call it whatever you want in such cases, a chemical imbalance, problems with your personality, mental issues, it doesn't really matter. But the point I'm trying to drive home here is that there are factors related to your psychology and personality that are not governed by your appearance that can strike anywhere and anyone, given the random variables of genes and input from the environment. You just don't know how you're going to react to certain things. You don't know what kind of personality you're going to have. Of course, this also goes back to a point I've made multiple times, that there's no fixing your personality. And if anything, we need to be blunt here, you can typically do a lot more for your appearance than you could ever for your personality. For example, if you're overweight, you can lose weight and slim down and look better, and it'll slim down your face. You can get a better haircut. You can dress better. Now, I'm not making the stupid normie claim that that's all you need to do in order to get a date. I'm just saying you can alter things here and there. Your personality is rather fixed over time, especially as you get older, because most traits become more heritable as you get older. So, as an example, I bet you know people with bad tempers. Have you ever met one over the course of your lifetime, over many years and decades, who radically shifted from having a very bad temper, having a very short fuse, to being patient and not so temperamental? I certainly never have, and I've never heard a story in which that is the case. Now, to be fair, I doubt there are any specific studies covering temper and how this might change over the years, but generally speaking, you don't meet people like this, right? People of bad tempers tend to have these bad tempers amplified over their lifetime. Likewise, people who are super neurotic for most of their years don't suddenly shift their neuroticism and become low in neuroticism. They typically remain nervous and on edge, depending on various input from the environment, what have you, but that core neuroticism remains. So your personality is rather fixed. And by and large, I'm talking about this because I think a lot of people are punitive of themselves when they think about aspects of their personality and they hear rhetoric and memes about how you're supposed to change your personality. Oh, bro, just change your personality. Do this work on your personality. It's much easier to lose a lot of weight, although it's still very difficult for some individuals, than it ever will be to change your core personality. That's especially true if, for example, up until a certain point, your life was X way and there's a radical shift. That underlying core to your psychology and personality will remain. And it also explains other things. Now, I've learned this about myself over the years. I'm never going to be a content individual. As much as I fantasize about being a different person and not having my negative traits, given that core to my personality, a fundamental quality of being discontent with basically everything, there's no status I could attain. There's no new version of me I could ever be. And indeed, version of somebody else, if I were to retain this core, that would make me content and happy. Because I would just compare myself and realize, oh, as good as I am at X now, there's still other people that are even better. Maybe in this other version, I'd be smarter than I am now. That is my, of course, greatest lamentation in life, that I'm insufficiently intelligent. Let's say in some hypothetical, I were made more intelligent. Well, I would just set the bar anew, and I would continue to be discontent by way of comparison, by way of awareness of my insufficiency. So our personality traits are pretty fixed. And by the way, you also see the converse of the hypothetical, or not so hypothetical, I introduced earlier, of the guy who seemingly has it all and he's still miserable. I've seen people, I know a guy actually, short, unattractive, really has nothing going for him, and he's still pretty content, and he's not faking it. Everything is hunky-dory with the guy. And you would think, given his appearance, given his lowly status in life, that he would be miserable, that he would be depressed. But none of that is true. He's more content than I would ever be. He's more content probably than a Brad Pitt is. And this has everything to do with his personality. So, yeah, your face is your personality when it comes to the initial phases of dating. But the other stuff in life, not so much. And it's a shame, and this is why it's unfortunate, is we don't really have much control over it. Yes, there are some strategies, allegedly, that can aid with this. A lot of people talk about cognitive behavioral therapy, which is basically this idea of reinforcing new habits and different approaches to things. And I've seen it actually work to a very limited degree in some individuals. But here's the thing you need to pay attention to. Cognitive behavioral therapy is not going to fundamentally change your personality. What it does is that it works within the parameters of your personality, and it mitigates, in the best case scenario, of course, the worst dimensions and qualities of said personality and psychology. So you're not going to completely do a 180 and change, as I said, from a temperamental person to a non-temperamental person, from a neurotic person to a calm and collected person. none of that's going to happen because those are core personality traits that are not quite immutable, but they're very, very rough and difficult to change to any large extent. So you can limit all of these things. You can pick and pluck around the edges. And that can actually lead to better outcomes to a degree, but you're not changing anything fundamental. So despite what a lot of people claim about cognitive behavioral therapy, you're not going to change from an A into a Z or from a Z into an A, to just use a letter analogy, right? And this is probably the thing that I wish sometimes even more so than lookism or the reality of looks would penetrate the public consciousness. That personality is relatively to quite fixed, and there's very little you can do to change it or even mitigate the worst aspects of it. And were that to penetrate the public consciousness, were that to become common knowledge, you'd get a lot less of these claims, these stupid, ignorant claims about, oh, just work on your personality. That's the issue when it comes to your dating life or your social life. And for the record, I'm not claiming that your personality doesn't count at all for these things related to dating and mating. It absolutely does, especially for long-term mating and mating strategies. It does. Your personality does matter. And it certainly matters in social situations with friends and family and what have you. But the point I'm trying to drive home here is, even if it does matter a lot, there's very little you can do to change it. With that said, thank you for tuning in. And many special thanks to my generous patrons on Patreon and donors on PayPal. Without you, this channel simply could not exist. Thank you so much. And if you can engage in the usual YouTube jazz of liking the video, sharing the video, leaving a comment, subbing if you're not yet a sub, it's much appreciated. If I'm still alive, I'll check you out then. Until the next time, may the gods truly watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.